The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined in the studio by Andy Holding to look ahead to the action. Not actually in the studio, on the line. A decent card today at Wexford to look forward to over the jumps, and fingers crossed we can grab a few winners. The first race in particular, not so interesting from a betting point of view, but the return of Briar Hill, who of course won the Cheltenham bumper at the festival last year. Good morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
I'm good, yeah.
Very good. Obviously, talking about the Cheltenham bumper there, you were at Cheltenham over the weekend and by all accounts had a pretty good time.
Yeah, not bad at all. Yeah, Saturday was a bit of a bloodbath, but some decent winning bets Friday and Saturday. Most notably, Irish horse Quick Jack, who looked incredibly well handicapped off a mark of 113, as he proved, made a mockery of that. And I thought the Liquidator was a really good bet in that four-runner race on Saturday, on Sunday, given that he was fourth in the champion bumper and posted a good number first time out at Carlisle. I thought he should have been odds on. I was amazed that he touched 13 away. And obviously with the Pipe team having such a good day, it worked out well. But yeah, talking of champion bumpers, you that leads us nicely onto Briar Hill, doesn't it, in the first race today at Wexford. So we're all looking forward to that. I suppose we're quite surprised to see him running Greatest Respect to Wexford at a track like this.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, the punters have clearly latched onto the fact that he is there. I mean, I'm seeing 2 to 11 in the paper. I saw a tissue price of 1 to 3 yesterday. The time of recording for the 12:45, Briar Hill is 9 to 1 on. The 12:45, by the way, a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. Briar Hill 9 to 1 on, and the nearest challenger is Behemoth at 9 to 1. What are you going to go for here, Andy?
Well, we're looking for a horse to chase this home, aren't we, really?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a beautiful stamp of a horse. I remember seeing him in the parade ring at Cheltenham and thinking, goodness me, this horse is a chaser in the making. He's already a point-to-point winner at the ripe old age of 4. He's by Shanta as well, which was very much one of the stars of the moment. A lot of these Shantos are making a real name for themselves, and I think Briar Hill will do this season as well. He's already one of the leading fancies for the Supreme Novices Hurdle at the festival next season, so all eyes will be on him here, obviously, to make a winning debut, which he should, barring absolute miracles, really, to be honest. You know, he should just basically not come out of a canter to beat this field. It's a race where he's obviously just plotted so he can avoid trouble and just have a nice run round, eye his hurdles up and get a bit of confidence before he takes on much tougher assignments. If I was going to nominate a horse to chase him home, it might well be the Arthur Moore horse, El Sorrow, because at least he comes here with a significant fitness advantage, having run a couple of times at Sligo and Galway. It was a slightly run race last time at Galway, and he rather got caught out as they dashed for the line. But at least he stays well and he goes on the ground, which is more than we can say about quite a few of the others. And obviously, Behemoth is the other one to keep an eye on, with the Paul Nolan team ticking over quite nicely. He showed a bit of form already at Nace in a bumper, won by a horse called Racing Pulse for Mickey Winters. Now, Racing Pulse, interestingly as well, just a little side, has gone to John Quinn in Moulton, so that horse should be plying his trade over in England sooner rather than later. So that form's going to be represented here by Behemoth. But yeah, Briar Hill, as his odds suggest, is basically 9 to 1 on, barring an accident to win this race.
Yeah, okay then. The next race that we'll look at is the 1:15. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles and 2 furlongs. We were talking a little bit off air just 5 minutes ago, the fact that I was willing to be a bit of a maggot and back Aeon Var each way at 13-2. I can't do that anymore because Lord of Lords is now a non-runner. So we've got Grey Monk at the time of recording at the 4-6 market leader, Aeon Var at 5-2. And 16s are bigger the rest. So does this leave it pretty much a penalty kick for Grey Monk?
What price is we now, Grey Monk, without Lord of Lords in the race? 4-6?
4-6, yeah.
That is an unbelievable price.
I must stress, this is at the time of recording, and it is, I'm guessing Lord of Lords has come out in the last couple of minutes, so it may be that price fluctuates. But as things stand, available.
He should be 3-1 on here now.
Okay.
That 4-6 will probably be dried up by the time you've put this ass on.
I'd imagine so, yes.
On the internet. But he's a nice horse, Grey Monk. I would have gone for him anyway. That third behind Ned Bunline and Urano probably represents the best maiden hurdle form. And it's a shame that he can't run against Lord of Lords, because we would have had a good race between them. Edward O'Grady's charge, obviously a late defector. A and Vol looks the obvious horse to chase him home, as you rightly pointed out. He's got some good form over hurdles last season, although I think this horse wants a decent ground myself. Ayanvar, all his best forms come on a good ground surface, so Wexford today on the soft side probably might not have suited him. But Grey Monk, apart from that blip on his CV when he got beat by Balagon Boy at Ferry House, looks quite good. I just thought the ground was far too heavy for him that day. It'll be okay here today, and Henry de Bromhead's team are in good form, so we're not going to be able to get the 4-6, even though William Hill are 4-6 at the moment. He should set the world a beat. And perhaps just a short price, double the front two favourites will be the order of the day there.
Yeah, okay then. The next race is the 1:45. It's a novice hurdle over 2 miles. Nice little contest this. We've got Royal Mullin as the short price favourite for Willie Mullins and Ruby Walsh. Seems hard to oppose. I mean, some horses coming up against here, like Kilbarry Beauty, Diala, Oscar's Passioner, solid enough. They bring some decent form to the table, but Royal Mull does have that scope for improvement, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. She's not overly big, but she's very tough and very willing. She showed at Galway last time out, beating Katamine, who's subsequently gone on to win down in Clonmel. So the form's not too bad. She's also shown her versatility with regards ground. She won on just a yielding autumn surface at Sligo, then really bad ground at Galway. So, that all goes well for her career. She's round about the 4-6 mark this morning, which, given the fact that Willie Mullins can't have a loser at the moment, looks fair enough value in the scheme of things. I don't really like Kilbarry Beauty here. I think she's got it all to do. She obviously was lame last time at Down Royal, but even though I don't think her form's good enough. And I don't really like Diala either. I mean, that horse had an easy, unpestered, uncontested lead the other day and still chucked it away. She looks very awkward under pressure as well. She sticks her head in the air and with a hood on, she just looks very untrustworthy and ungainly in her action. So I suggest that Royal Mull might have the most to fear here with Oscar's Passion, who was a winner 3 days ago at Punchestown. Funny enough, I did that race last night, and it was a very slowly run race, which actually probably wouldn't have suited Oscar's Passion. So I thought she did really well to win. She beat the Doorman, who was third, who'd previously gone well in a race at Navan. And they do think a bit of the Doorman as well. So I don't think there was any real fluke with Oscar's Passion winning. She'd also gone well here at this track the time before and behind Alonso in a fastly run race. So with her track form and fitness in very much in safe keeping, I do think Oscar's Passion at 7-1 is either worth an each-way bet to finish second and obviously still make money, or perhaps to perm up with the favourite and do it in some combination forecast. So I think it's between the two, but let's go with Oscar's Passion to cause a surprise.
Okay then, Oscar's Passion there in the 1:45. The 2:15 is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Looks a lot more open than the first three races that we've looked at. Where should we start with this one then, Andy?
Yeah, we'll start with Majita Royale, my selection at Ewindor's 9-year-old. Doesn't run much nowadays over hurdles, but when he does turn up, he runs to a decent standard, as he did last time, over this course and distance, which is obviously important. He come with a sweeping run through to challenge at the last. Unfortunately, he couldn't quite get the better of size in Australia on the run-in, but that's still a good return. A horse called Lumikaboo was back in fourth. Now, Lumikaboo has been virtually the pivotal horse in Ireland for two of my handicaps throughout the summer jumping period. Wherever Lumikaboo finishes, then you can basically hang your coat on the peg there with that horse. He also chased home Quick Jack at the Listowel Festival, so he's a decent barometer to the form. And the fact that Majita Royale finished in front of him is obviously very significant. Around about 5-1, 11-2 this morning. Do think Majita Royale represents decent each-way value here. Do keep an eye on the market for Clara Bella, who was a big disappointment the other day, went very well fancied at Nice. He went off 4-1 favourite after being backed through the floor on the morning. That was off the back of several good runs on the flat, but for one reason or another, she's disappointed. She's got plenty of ability, Clara Bell. I wouldn't totally rule her out, but I'll stick with the obvious one, Miita Royale, course and distance form, and a run similar to that last time out should see her there or thereabouts.
Okay then, the 2:45 is race number 5 on the Wexford card. It's a beginner's chase over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. Interesting contest this, Andy. We've got Speckled Wood at the head of the market at the time of recording, who, well, she certainly deserves a place there, but I'd suggest that she's perhaps vulnerable to one or two of these. What do you fancy here?
Yeah, I'll go along with that, actually. I quite like the Blazing Sonnet here, 7-year-old mare by Oscar. Quite a big unit, always looked as though she was going to make a chase of this horse. She'd only actually ever won a couple of races over hurdles, which is a poor return, really, for a horse of her ability. And I thought she ran a real eye-catching race first time out, but not particularly well-fancied on a chasing debut down in Thurles, on ground that probably would have been too quick for her, and a track as well, which would have been too sharp for her. So to finish third behind two informed horses such as Gentleman's Duke and Raise Hell certainly bodes well for her future over fences. I thought she jumped cleanly, and that should set her up here for a much more positive effort. I'm not saying that wasn't a good effort first time out, but I think she's going to be challenged for the victory here today rather than just playing for place money. It doesn't look particularly strong mare's race, and I think she's the classiest horse in this field. So Blazing Sonnet, strong selection there in that 2:45.
Okay then, the 3:15 is the penultimate race on the card. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. Another really, really open contest here, Andy. We've got Flying Windsor looking to follow up her win at, where was it, at Fairy House. Do you think she can do so, or are you going to look elsewhere here?
Yeah, I'd probably go with Dog Barrow Hill, the horse that chased her home on that occasion, because I thought that horse travelled really strongly throughout that race and looked the most likely winner going down to the last. And it was the first time that Dog Barrow Hill had the tongue tie on, so hopefully that contraption works again. And if it does, got half a chance of turning it round with the 9-year-old mare Flying Windsor. They've certainly come out really well on my speed figures anyway, but at the prices, 6-1 for Dog Barrow Hill represents good each way value. A bit of money for Presswell Lad this morning, making its seasonal reappearance. That horse often goes well on a right-handed track, so certainly give that a little bit of a second look. But I quite like that form at Fairy House. Fairy House form transferred to Wexford should stand up in all theory, so let's hope it does. And Dog Barrow Hill is the one to take out of that race.
Okay then, the final race that we'll look at is the 3:45. It's a hunter's chase over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. And I'll be telling you, how are we saying this one, Andy?
I'll be telling you a lie.
You see, this is why you need to look at things. I was going to go with, I'll be telling you Alfie, and I've just noticed there's no F in there.
Oh.
So we'll go with, I'll be telling you a lie, as is the name. 15-8 favourite at the time of recording. Looks pretty solid. Doesn't always win, but you can expect a very creditable effort here.
Yes. Nice horse, this, actually. I'll be telling you a lie. I do actually keep my eye on Irish Hunter Chase form as well, so I'm probably better placed here than you'd think I would to comment on a few of these horses, because I often tip this I'll be telling you a lie, and he's always run his race for me, but sometimes hasn't managed to get the job done, as he did last time out at Listowel. Still a decent effort behind Fort George. He likes soft ground. He's a big, strong unit. He often travels really well. He goes well right-handed. Obviously, taking on trust that he's fit after a layoff, but if he is, I think the 15-8 with William Hill this morning is a decent price in the context of this race. I'd certainly give the Muller chance as well. Willie McLernan's 9-year-old often goes well in these kind of events. Again, another horse that doesn't win very often, but he does stay really well. And he's also had the important run under his belt when he chased down the very well-fancied Boxing Along first time out. That was only 9 days ago, so he might have a bit of a fitness angle. You've got Comanche War Dance and Fergie the Legend making their Hunter Chase debuts as well. I think they could be quite interesting. So actually not a bad little race to close off the card. But I'd be telling you a lie. He's very much the best of these. And he rates one of the strongest bets on the card at 15-8.
Okay then, I'll be telling you a lie there in the closer. Not I'll be telling you Alfie. No Alfie's here. I'd be telling you a lie if I was to say that it was called I'll be telling you Alfie. So the Terence O'Brien charge is picked there in the 3:45. Great stuff, Andy. Good luck with your selections, and we'll catch up with you shortly.
Yeah, and good luck with Gareth Topham's nap today.
Thanks, Andy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.